Good afternoon. Welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time and affordable home buyers, Building Fortunes Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement thought which will make your life better and your business grow. On my post last Friday, I asked you to do four things. If you remember, you had to focus to choose something. So I wanted you to focus on the choice. And did you know, very honestly, that you have a choice every day, every minute, every second, to choose what you want to focus on? You can focus on the lack of something, or focus on your blessings. You can focus on why you aren't getting ahead, or focus on how to get ahead. You are not a victim of your circumstances unless you choose to be. Because when you focus on what you want in your life, who you want to be, and what you want to achieve, your subconscious will work to take you in that direction. You will start to see things you normally would not see that will lead you down the right path. To give you an example, as using an analogy that I think a lot of us have used in the past, everybody has played putter golf. You can go play putter golf even at the local county fairs, or you know, in your town, or if you're just putting around on the putting green on a golf course, you can do all those things. And we learn to choose certain things, like how to read the green, how to feel how fast or how slow it is, and that information is all taken into account and stored in our mind, and then our mind leads us down the path we need to follow because it's trained behavior. That's what we do. And you have the choice to do that in everything that you do, no matter what you do. It is all about choosing the right pathway. When we lose focus, we are like a ship lost at sea. We just float through the days without direction and only go through the motions. We become depressed. We lack energy. But the good news is that we can change the direction in one sentence by changing our thinking. Because when we focus on the wrong thing, it works against us. For example, the man who is at work all day and focuses on how he can't wait to get home, down a few beers while watching TV all night, versus the person who focuses on doing something productive or fun at night, going to a softball game with their kids, working out, or reading a book that will get them ahead at work. You tell me, which is more productive? Going back to what I said in the beginning, we get to make a choice even when others interrupt our focus of life, or life throws us a huge curve. I'm not perfect at controlling my focus 24/7. However, I've gotten really good at recognizing when I'm focusing on the wrong things and tolerating that for only a short period of time before I say to myself, that's enough, time to choose to focus on, and then I stick something in there that I need to focus on. Another example at work is that instead of focusing on feeling overwhelmed, and you will never get all your work done, focus on your ability to take on challenges at work, taking control of your priorities, and moving at a fast yet steady pace. This week, pay extra special attention to when you get distracted or when you're focusing on the wrong thing. Then give a big focus to the better thought. You will notice a difference in how you feel and the direction you're heading. I also ask you to have the courage to act. And I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in the direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it, but we must sail and not drift nor lie at anchor. We must have the courage to act. Oliver Wendell Holmes spent his life having the courage to act. And that is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the fact that you need to take action. Today, I was in a meeting in the morning. And in that meeting, I found out some negative things that I was going to have to do and figure out a way to overcome so that the projects that I want to do would continue to become successful, profitable, and continue to allow us to do what we plan to do with affordable home ownership. So when I came home, I got on the phone with the people that I needed to get on the phone with to find out the accurate answer to what I had been told. And, I mean, the person didn't give me wrong information, but they didn't give me complete information, which gave me the information that I needed to make the right decision on the right time, to change some tactics, to make it a different way about how I'm going to do the projects that we do and where we're going to do the projects that we do. So the idea being is, let's make it happen correctly the first time, and if you don't understand it, make it happen the second time by understanding it better. Does that make sense? Good. You need the energy to persist what you're doing. You know, energy is a strange thing. Sometimes we think that we've gotten enough sleep. We think that we've had the right things to eat. We think that we're on a path, to good energy. We think that we are ready to do the work that we are supposed to do on a daily basis, but instead, our body fails us. And the reason it fails us is that our mind has been distracted from what we need to do. If we have the ability to, for example, throw a baseball, and we're used to throwing our baseball so it goes in between certain marks on the side of the wall that we're throwing the baseball at, and because our mind is in a different place and we're thinking about a different thing, we can't seem to make that baseball go between those two lines. It's missing the strike zone, so to speak. The same thing happens with anything that you're doing. You know, when you distract yourself, you know, then you get into a position where you've lost interest in what you're doing. It becomes a chore instead of an opportunity. And we don't want that. We want it to be second nature. And so you need to think about what you're doing all the time and keep your mind focused on what you need to be focused on that one particular day. Additionally, I ask you to have the humility to change. And Zig Ziglar, who has been basically a person to motivate people for a long period of time. He's a huge motivational speaker. He's written hundreds of books. And he says one thing which stuck with me forever. He said, it's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts. And I think that's an important factor. If you can get back up off the floor after being knocked down, then you have that humility to change because you know what put you on the floor to begin with. And you know that humility is something that you need to consider with everything that you're doing so that as you change, make sure that humility enters into it. The change that I made today, the change of where we are going to build instead of in one place into another came about because I had the humility to say, okay, you know, I was wrong. I can't build here, but I can build there. And I can build more effectively there. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, the second part of that equation is that sitting on the sidelines over here are some opportunities which may or may not happen. I don't know whether they will or not, but if they do, then that changes the prerogative. It means that we may be able to build in an area that we didn't think we could because of some concessions that may be made to us by the city that we're working with. Concessions which will give us the opportunity to get lots at a better price. That's the key to it for us. We need to have that price break. If we don't have the price break, we're in trouble. Because at the cost of building today, and with the impact fees and the permit fees and this fee and that fee and everybody taking a piece of everybody's money, it becomes more difficult to build affordably. And that's our only mission. And so we have to be able to make the necessary jumps. Speaking of jumps, we're going to take a short break right now. We'll be back in about 45 seconds, and we'll talk about failure and disappointment. Talk to you soon.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhome.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area, and the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
Okay. You know, failure and disappointment are inevitable parts of life, yet difficult and challenging to deal with. We all face moments when we don't achieve our goals despite our best efforts. We may not find our dream job or soulmate. It may be too late to have more children, or the house with the ocean view may be out of reach. Relationships may end despite our best efforts to save them. Friends or lovers may betray us. We may not get the promotion we worked so hard for, or our children may not be as motivated as we want them to be. So what do you do when life knocks you down, and the happiness and success you dream of seems out of reach? I'm going to give you a few ways to cope with the experience of failure. First of all, you need to face the truth of the situation. Denying the reality of a bad situation or avoiding thinking about it at all makes it worse. It keeps you stuck when you could be working on solving the problem. Awareness is the first step to change, but willing to face the problem, don't dwell on it, just be willing to face it 24/7. This will just make you feel worse. Think about it enough to understand what you feel and the best way to respond, then focus on something more positive. Research suggests that avoiding thinking about or dealing with problems actually creates more stressors, which is a phenomenon known as stress generation. For example, if you don't open the envelopes with your bills, you will end up getting calls from collection agencies. That's called stress generation. You need to allow yourself to mourn lost dreams. The gap between how you wanted things to turn out and how they actually did can lead to sadness and regret. Mourning is a step toward letting go. Take time to connect with your feelings in a compassionate way. Write down your feelings. Talk to a trusted friend. Maybe they can help. You know, we know that when people write down their deepest thoughts and feelings about breakups, they recover more quickly and had better physical health in subsequent moments. In another study, executives and engineers who deliberately confront feelings about job loss felt more control over their situation and had a much higher rate of reemployment in the following months. Makes sense, huh? What I don't want you to do is I don't want you to get stuck feeling like a victim. Whatever your situation, you always have choices and skills to deal with it. Think about other situations you coped with successfully and how you might apply the same skills to this situation. If you're being mistreated, speak up or walk away. If you can't walk away right now, work on being more independent or finding other opportunities. I also want you to check and see if your expectations are realistic. One of the things that I try to do with everybody I talk with, especially people who are considering affordable housing, is to set a realistic expectation of what they are going to experience. If you tell somebody that you're going to have your house, their house ready for them within 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years, whatever you tell them, and you fail to meet that mark, you have disappointed them. The same thing happens if you set yourself up for failure by creating expectations that are unrealistic. I'm a person who believes in setting lofty goals, but they're goals, not expectations. My expectations are substantially short of the goals. If I set a goal of selling 10 houses in the final quarter of this year, my expectation is that we will sell half that amount, or 5 houses. Now, 5 houses for us during a period of the last 3 months of the year would be phenomenal. And I'd be very happy that that happened. So what we need to do is create an opportunity to make sure that the success that I envision and I want to achieve is reachable. And then if I exceed that and get to my next goal is 10 houses or twice what I expect to reach. That's being realistic. That's setting realistic expectations. You also have to be kind to yourself. When things don't work out, it may not be because you did anything wrong. You may be turned down for a job if you're not the best match for the company's needs. The person you are drawn to may be love avoidant, already in a relationship, or a narcissist. While it's important to look at the situation to see what you can learn, adopt a compassionate attitude. Rather than judging yourself harshly, don't get stuck on shame. Not a blame game when you're talking to yourself. Look for a silver lining. There's got to be one there. There isn't everything. What's the new opportunity that this situation presents? It's like I said to you today. I had lots that I had identified, which were going to cost between $25,000 and $45,000 a lot. Because of a decision I made today, my lot values are going to cost between $8,500 and $12,000, or more than half. Very important point. I will save a ton of money, and I will make more than that. That's the silver lining. Is there a chance to learn new skills if you do this? Sure there is. Change your priorities, you bet. Deepen relationships, I would hope so. Or just grow as a person. Try not to see the situation in black and white terms or let yourself be defined by it. It's a bad moment, not a bad life. As Alexander Graham Bell said, when the one door closes, another opens. But we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened for us. Very important factor, and a very smart man he was. If what you're doing isn't working, you may need to do something different. To succeed as an entrepreneur, you may need to improve your product or service, your marketing strategy, or your interpersonal skills. If there is no market for your service, you may have to reinvent yourself. If you aren't meeting the right type of romantic partners, you may try doing something different in the way of activities or going to different places. If your partner isn't changing or meeting your needs, you may want to focus on finding your own kind of happiness. Getting what you want often means moving out of your comfort zone and tolerating loss, risk, and uncertainty. You know, research shows us that persistent determination are at least as important for success as intelligence. It's difficult to keep showing up, but by doing so, you will gain respect from others and feel better about yourself. Sitting around and ruminating about your problems only makes things worsen and interferes with your motivation to take constructive action. Researcher Angela Duckworth uses the term grit to refer to individuals who are dedicated to their goals, who are passionate, conscientious, and exhibit persistence over long periods of time. In studies of different populations, ranging from school kids to West Point cadets, grit predicts success over and above measure of talent or intelligence. Think about that for a minute. It's not what you know or who you know, it's what you do. And I think that's the one thing that we miss. A lot of people say it's not what you, who you know, but what you know, or not what you know, but who you know. Regarding the first two, they get you in the door. But what you do is how you determine your success. There are two steps to every sales call. The introduction and the close. Everything in between is garbage. Failure and disappointment are difficult to deal with. Expect to feel sad or angry and to be uncertain about your next steps. Build a support system to keep you motivated while you undertake difficult changes in outlook or strategies. A trained psychotherapist can provide both support and experience, while friends and family can research you. While friends and family can reassure you of your worth and your ability to succeed, or provide material or practical help with patience, grit, and self-compassion, you can get back on track and build the life you want. So, I hope today we have learned a couple of things. Number one, we've learned that it's not necessarily your inaction or your intelligence or your inner self that cause you to be successful. They are your motivators that get you to where you're in a position to be successful, but it will always be what you do. If you don't do anything, all the information and inspiration that you may get doesn't get inside you until you start applying yourself and doing something with all of that. I had a friend of mine tell me one time that he used to go once a month, buy a bag of groceries, and take it down to the corner and stand on the corner holding the bag, and he would write on the bag, "Free bag of groceries." And many people would come by and ask him what he was doing, and he would say, I'm waiting for the right person so I can give them this bag of groceries. And everybody assumed that it was because he was waiting for a poor person to come by. It wasn't. He was waiting for somebody to come by and say, can I hold that bag for you for a while? Because that bag got heavy. But in all the time that he did it, it never happened. So, did he have a realistic expectation of success? No. That didn't stop him from doing something and trying. And I guess that's my point. Don't give up. Never give up. No matter what you do, no matter how you're doing it, there is a way to make it work. Just don't give up. Keep on trying. Keep on striving. You know, that's all I have for today. I'm looking forward to talking with you tomorrow about the next step in our journey. You have a good evening. God bless you.